I look like geriatric Batman. Like, is that a crime over there that's being committed? Ah, the Dark Knight's vengeance is coming. You young whippersnapper.
Hey, we need to talk.
Welcome to the Church Communications Group podcast, where we help church leaders find clarity, confidence, and connection in their communications. I'm Kim, General Manager of the Church Communications Group, joined by my co-host and friend, Zach.
Every Tuesday, we'll bring you fresh insights on what's happening in church communications. We promise to keep it real around here. Expect authentic conversations, practical advice, and definitely a few laughs along the way.
In each episode, we'll also share a valuable resource to help you grow in your church communications, leadership skills, and honestly, just life as well. So whether you're a seasoned communications director or just starting out, there is something here for you.
Now, get ready to learn, grow, and connect as we open up the conversation in today's episode of Hey, We Need to Talk.
Hey, everybody, it's the Halloween episode. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Halloween, this is Halloween. Pumpkin scream in the dead of night. You guys, we are here for the best episode, some might say, because it is the Halloween episode. We've got minions.
We got a shark. I thought this was our normal episode. I didn't know it was Halloween themed.
Came normal.
I just came normal. Ready to film.
And we've got moving cameras. And we've got Batman.
I want to suck your blood.
Oh my goodness.
Amazing. Is that not the right character?
No, that's not it at all.
That was so far from being the right character.
That was Dracula.
You're almost there.
Hold on one second.
Okay, if you are listening to this podcast, you need to turn it off and you need to go to YouTube and you need to watch what
this.
Is happening, because you are not experiencing this moment where Steve is taping his glasses to his Batman mask.
There we go.
Now he can see.
Batman with bifocals. It is totally... Everything's good.
If I could talk like a minion right now, I would totally do it. And the other day, I was Marco Poloing Zach, and we were looking at something together, and he sends me this Marco Polo back, and I was like, finally, I have reached the minion status. And we're just gonna play that for you guys now.
Double bag. No.
Oh my gosh.
The minion voices are the best. They mean nothing, but they always bring laughter.
Zach, a shark. You know?
I know.
It's not Shark Week, I don't think, but it's
a shark. But it's Sharknado.
It is Sharknado. That's right.
So, Zach, are you a shark or were you eaten by a shark? I'm not sure what your costume is.
Yeah, what's my plot line? So, yes, I think I was eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
I would
just, the shark has eyes and everything up here, and you're like in its mouth. So
I'm in it. That's a good story. Yeah, yeah. You know when they're like, I like lost my leg and they actually like just did something stupid? No, like a shark actually ate my body.
I am just a regular minion. Just like a regular, good old-fashioned minion. But Steve, you've got the whole deal there. Like,
did you guys see my cape?
Have some candy in front of you. You're ready to go.
Did you see my cape?
Yeah, we did. We saw a little, but show us again. Yes.
It's a little bit of a shorter cape.
It's a teeny tiny one.
It's more of a tactical cape, you know, just because if you've ever watched The Incredibles, no capes. So this is kind of like in between where it's like a small cape. It's a tearaway, so it won't get caught in jet engines and other things as I'm flying.
It makes sense.
Do you guys have like a favorite Halloween candy?
I love one of those. Is it Twix? That's the name. It's not Trix. Twix. Yeah, yeah.
You don't even know the name of the candy. I'm sure you're lying right now, Zach.
No, I do love a Twix because it has like the caramel stuff, but then also has that crunchy thing in it. Isn't that it?
So,
or is that yeah.
So question, is that just a regular candy or is that a Halloween candy? Because you can get that any time of year. Like you don't have to wait to Halloween to get that.
That's true.
Is there any Halloween candy anymore?
Well,
or is
like it mounds, commercialized? Those, like, let's just be honest, like mounds are truly Halloween candy. Yes, whatever those are.
Candy
corn.
Candy corns, candy pumpkins.
Honestly, the candy of champions, you guys, none other than Circus peanuts.
Oh, okay,
these are the real deal. And if you don't eat a Circus peanut, you don't know what Halloween's all about. Now, here's the deal with a Circus peanut, though, okay? With a Circus peanut, you have to buy the bag this year, but not open it and eat it till next year because it has to have that right consistency to it to make stale. It a true, honest Circus peanut.
The thing about that is it will taste exactly the same and have the exact same texture the next year. That's They're true. Disgusting.
It's just a little bit harder. Like these ones are too mushy. I just got them at the store. They're like, I can like mush it. If you can't mush it and it's kind of a little bit of a rock, it might break your tooth off. That's the good stuff right there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. No. You just went to the dentist this last week. And so you're eating Circus peanuts today.
I probably shouldn't be eating Circus peanuts.
We should wait on that one.
No, I think Twizzlers really are my favorite. But they're not actually, again, not a Halloween candy because you can get those anytime.
You can. I think I win on the Halloween candy vote right there because, you know, everything is a competition. So I win. These glasses are making me sweat. Let me tell you something.
I mean, the glasses pain is real. Like you have yours under your goggles. Like mine, I look like geriatric Batman, like, you know, old man. Like, is that a crime over there that's being committed? The Dark Knight's vengeance is coming. You young whippersnapper.
All right, you guys. So let's talk about church. Church and Halloween. Okay. So, you know, obviously like when it comes to Halloween, All Hallows Eve, all those kinds of things that we like, it's like witchcraft, wizardry, like all of that, it becomes a real negative in the church world. You know, what are your guys' thoughts? What are your feels on that kind of like, you know, do we do something for Halloween? Do we lean into that as a holiday? Kind of, what are you guys thinking on that?
I would say yes. I'm a proponent for leaning into it. I mean, obviously, as Christians, we're not proponents of the demonic or even like the supernatural in that negative sense. But it's a cultural norm that's happening around us, and people are going out for Halloween. We can't control like. We can't even make sure that all of our people don't go out for Halloween, let alone our entire community. Right. So it's an inevitable that's going to happen. And it would be a missed opportunity for us not to participate in that, in the sense of like a fall festival or a trunk or treat or some sort of activity that people like, what better way to get people on your church property than line up cars and have themed out trunks as people are trick or treating down the street? I think it's a great opportunity for us to be able to connect with our communities.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. And it's a safe place too, right? Mm-hmm. You can open up your building where people are out in the streets, in their neighborhoods, but this gives you a nice, clean, safe location for families to come. They can trunk or treat outside, or you can do something inside. You know, there's a church that that we know in Ohio, Cedar Creek Church, and they do Hollow Weekend. On Halloween. And actually, Zach, Steve, and I will be visiting them here during the holiday, during Halloween, and we're going to get to experience Hollow Weekend, which I'm super excited that. About.
What great timing.
It's so perfect timing. So we're going to be there just in a few days. And, they do a whole experience on Halloween weekend, and they call it Hollow Weekend, and it's like this like choose your own adventure kind of experience where you come to church, you have the worship, but then choose your own adventure. They still stay in the Bible, they still stay in like the scripture and things, but it's just done different. And I love that idea because it's still going like this is the church, this is a place for God. Like they don't do like, you know, spooktacular type stuff, but like this is still a place for you to come and find God, but it is so seeker friendly. It is so built around the outside, people that don't know God, people that aren't going to church, for them to come into the church and experience something different on Hollow Weekend. Steve, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, because I can definitely sympathize with people who don't want to do it. And I think in a lot of ways, it feels like a gateway drug to something else. It's like, hey, if we, you know, acknowledge this or whatever, we're, then that's just one step more towards somebody kind of going towards the world, going towards some of those darker elements of what Halloween has represented. So yeah. I can definitely sympathize with it. But when we were in California, I think one of the things that really worked well for us was as we did this, you know, massive trunk or treat. And it was very cool. I don't know if you're in the Valencia area, check out Real Life Church. One of the things that they did is their trunk or treats weren't just people's cars. They built sets around the back of their cars. There was like a castle that was like 15, 20 feet high built around the trunk of a car. There was a whole Star Wars theme in the back of an SUV with a Death Star like hanging in the center of it and everything. They just went all out. They made it a competition. They had so much fun with it. But the neat thing about the whole trunk or treat, one, I mean, people from all around the community came, but they used it as an opportunity to get people in the building that may not have come when invited to a weekend.
Yeah.
So if you kind of have that experience of like going in the building and like even just experiencing like, okay, I know what this is like. I know the hallways. I know like what the main room looks like and things like that. It gives people a real just low cost of entry way of coming in and checking out your church without actually committing to a weekend where it's like, I don't know what's going to happen on the weekend. I don't know what they're going to make me sign up for or whatever. But on Halloween, you can really just get people to come because, hey, we're looking for a fun thing to do in our community. Everybody is looking for something fun and interactive to do on Halloween. So I totally agree with you guys that I think it's an opportunity to take advantage of while not leaning into some of the things that really kind of make it a little darker.
Yeah. Now, here's something fun. That same church, Steve and I both were working at that church, and I was overseeing creative Week in Experience. Steve was production and doing his thing. And here's what we did really well. And I say that with as much sarcasm as I absolutely could find inside of me. One Halloween year, we actually did a series, which the series was awesome. the series was great, I think. What was the series called, Steve? I can't even remember off the top of my head right now.
Oh, How to Hug a Vampire.
How to Hug a Vampire. Which that's right.
Comes from, I think Elevation Church is the originator of it, and we copied it.
There you go. Elevation. They originate a lot of stuff. We did How to Hug a Vampire, had a great graphic, all this stuff. We did opening weekend. We did Thriller with our student ministry. And let me just tell you, don't do that. Like, just there's things that you can do and should do, and there's things you shouldn't do. And let me just be real, having your student ministry reenact Thriller. Nope.
No.
Don't do it. Well,
We created a video series around it, and it was like The Office, but the boss was a vampire. So he was an energy sucker, and he would go around and kind of suck the energy out of him. So that was okay. That was kind of funny. Those were like the bumpers. But one of the things that we did is we took a picture of this guy and his family. So we made up this vampire family. We took a picture of it. We blew it up to like 6x8, and we hung it in the center of the stage.
Yes.
For one weekend until people were like, are we worshiping
vampires? Are we worshiping the vampire family?
It was so we yeah, that was a fail. Yeah,
That was a fail.
Yeah, that series was a smashing success and a drastic failure all at the same time.
As we kind of close up this conversation, which I know was life-giving to everybody that has listened, what would we say would be some of the best ways to get something like one of these type of events, a trunk or treat or so on? What would be a best way to bring our community and our church into that kind of an event?
Well, I think number one, like, word of mouth that always like has a huge proponent, like especially these family centric events, like we can always like family invite family, like that's the best way to do it. And then we can also always run some ads. I think Google Display ads are great because it's actually targeting young families. Facebook ads are going to be great because it's targeting mom and grandmom. And so that's going to be a great place for us to be able to communicate that info.
It's good.
Yeah. I definitely think like within the church, get your groups like invested in something like this. Like if you're going to do a trunk or treat, get your groups like invested in it, have them, you know, make it a competition, make it really fun. Because then they can reshare things on social media. They can take the main post of the church and reshare that on social media. But if you get those groups invested in it, it will like totally take it further than just, you know, what your staff can do and everything like that. Cause they are going to tell their friends, they are going to be invested because they're like, hey, come see my trunk or treat or whatever. Yeah. Come check out my church and what they're doing inside and I'll give you a tour and all that stuff. So yeah, get your groups invested because they'll be your kind of number one ambassadors for that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's really good. You guys, we're going to link you up to, in this episode, to a video of a church that we work with in Illinois, and they do a trunk or treat, and they experienced going from just a couple people, a couple cars in their trunk or treat, and maybe a couple hundred people to a couple thousand, and a large majority of their church getting involved just by talking about it the right way. Like Steve was saying, bringing the church into the experience, and then allowing the community to come in and have be a part of that experience. So we're going to link that video up so that you guys can hear what went on there and be inspired.
I'm Batman.
Hey, we need to talk.
Thanks for tuning into the Hey, We Need to Talk podcast. We hope today's episode has equipped you with insights and strategies to enhance your church communications efforts.
Remember, we're here every Tuesday with fresh content to keep you up to date on what's happening in church communications. If you found value in today's discussion, we'd love for you to join us again next week by clicking the follow button wherever you listen to podcasts.
And hey, you're a part of this conversation too. So if there's a topic you'd like to talk about, make sure to leave a comment in the episode and on social media.
For more resources or just to set up a call with any one of our team members, head over to churchcommunications.com and check out our free online learning platform, CC Plus, where you can access a wealth of additional resources to support your church communications journey.
We're Zach and Kim, and from all of us here at Church Communications Group, we're looking forward to helping you find clarity, confidence, and connection in your church communications.